So let me introduce my guest. This is a gentleman who I've been trying to get in this studio for a long time. But similarly to Dr. Patrick Martin, who said last week, when I said, I've been trying to get you in here for a long time, Doc, he said, well, nothing before its time, so he came last week. And nothing before its time because now I have this gentleman who is one of the, to me, a national treasure. Just like the men we had here last week. I speak of no other than Dr. Bishara Saheli, who is a very highly respected medical practitioner in the country, very beloved in the country, very committed to his patients, very committed servant of not just the health system, but this nation that has given him his birth and his life and his education and what he has. And he's here giving back, working hard. One of my favorite people, I have to say, in the whole wide world. Dr. Bishara, welcome to the operating room.
Thank you, Dwyer. Thank you also for the kind words. And good evening to everyone who's listening to the program this evening.
And remember, Dr. Saheli has a blog too, eh? Very professorially written, sometimes hard to read because it's long and real professorial. But well worth it, well worth it. But I could assure you that tonight, he's not going to be professorial. We're going to have a conversation about a number of things. And as we get through it, you'll get an idea of his views on a number of different things. And of course, you will have a chance to weigh in with your views. Before I ask Bishara the first question, I just want to congratulate the Patriots. St. Lucia were all out for 69, and we made 70 for 3. So, St. Kitts and Nevis Patriots, congratulations. And thank you for finishing the game so quickly so that more people could come and listening to our program. Bishara, I'm going to start first in medicine.
Okay.
What is the human body?
Okay, excellent. Let's start with the human body.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, when you were giving your commentary earlier, I started to see a picture, a parallel between the body politic of our country and our human body itself.
Okay.
Now, the body is basically not just a physical being. We actually see it as three different aspects. We have the physical body, we have the mental body, and we have the social body. Mm-hmm. The physical body is that part of you that requires energy, materials, is able to help you to move around, and you actually kind of digest and move a lot of the stuff inside of your body using organs. You have a community of cells that require information to be going back and forth. You require plumbing to take blood from the heart to the rest of the body, and in the process, transport essential material like oxygen, nutrients, and then get rid of the waste. So that's the physical part of the body. The mental part of the body takes the information you get from outside, like what you hear, what you see, and it actually gives you images, which we call thoughts, and also feelings, which helps to tell you how the body is doing. I see the feelings as your emotional GPS to help guide you in certain situations. You get certain negative feelings that tells you, okay, something is not right. This is like your physical dashboard. So when you have pain, it tells you, okay, something's not right, hot, sharp, get away from it. If you're hungry, it means you need to go eat. If you're thirsty, you need to drink, and so on. So that is very important. Sometimes when we don't pay enough attention to it, things can get out of control. And then you can develop things like anxiety, fear, depression, which if not dealt with early, can have severe consequences later on. The last part of us, which is usually neglected, is the social being.
Mm-hmm.
None of us can survive without any input from adults when we're born, right? It has been shown if you compare our development to other animals, we need to be in the womb another 18 months to be at the same level at the delivery. The reason why is that our brain has developed to such a large extent. If we were going to come out fully formed, we wouldn't be able to pass through the passage of the mother during delivery. So a lot of the development, we call this the external umbilical cord. You know, what we call it, our nest has to go on for another 18 months. And this is where you need caregiving. Our brain is continuously developing. The right brain develops usually the first 5 years of life, and it requires a lot of emotional attachment. And that, you can't give yourself emotional attachment. You need caregivers. Male caregivers, female caregivers, relatives to be around. The brain continues to develop, and you develop your social skills after 5 years onwards until you become an adolescent. And this is when you start to develop your identity. And that's where role models come in. We have these circuits that are there to help us to develop the best of our abilities, but they can't develop unless we have the right input. And the last part that needs to be developed is our planning, our thinking, our decision-making skills that continues until up to the age of 25. So the brain continues to develop until the age of 25, okay? Now, for all of this to happen, we need an integrity in the plumbing life of our body. Mm-hmm. If there's any blockage of any of the vessels, be it the arteries or the capillaries, and where there's leakage, you're going to get disease. If you block one of the major vessels in your brain, you're going to get a stroke. If you're going to block one of the major vessels in your heart, you can get a heart attack. If you develop diabetes or you smoke a lot or you drink a lot of alcohol, you can affect the small vessels that go to the community of cells in your body. And then they can become leaky and they can be blocked, and then you can get diseases. The small vessels, especially if you're diabetic, can affect the eyes, you can get diabetes, you can get blindness. You can affect also the small vessels in your kidneys. They can become leaky and you leak protein. That's why we always do a urinalysis when you come for your annual checkup. Or it can also affect the nerves of your leg. And as a result, you may get a cut and don't know it. The problem with diabetics affects the small vessels and the large vessels. So when the integrity in the plumbing life is affected, you can get double whammy. Your white cells, your oxygen can't flow to the leg. The nerve cannot tell you when there's danger, and that's why diabetics have a very high rate of amputation if the plumbing life is not affected. But you also need information to flow back and forth to the governor of the body, and that governor, the executive, is the brain. So we need freedom of information flow so that the nerve signals from outside can inform the governor what is happening. And you need information from the nerves inside, from your guts, from your organs, from your joints, to go back to the brain, to tell it where everything is there. The brain basically is what's there to help us to make judgments, to predict what's going to happen, so that we can do stuff that would anticipate potential dangers. So what really happens is that we see a situation, we see what happened in the past, we go back, and then we draw that information to do stuff to make sure either look for food. You don't wait until you're thirsty, to go and drink. You sense it coming on, and you take anticipatory action. If the information doesn't flow back and forth, either because you're diabetic or you have a stroke, you know, you won't be able to walk properly, you won't be able to talk properly. So just like, as you mentioned here, in terms of good governance of the body politic, we have to have good governance of our own bodies so that you have integrity of public life, freedom of information flow, so that all the information and the circuitry is in harmony, syncing with each other, so that your governor, your executive, can make the best decision for you at that point, particular point in time. So that's the summary there. So what else do we need? So we've talked, the body is physical, it's mental, and it's social, but we have to eat. Right. So again, from the physical, the mental, and the social, we need nutritious energy, food, and less toxicity. Mm-hmm. The problem is, in each aspect, we have, as is evolving now, we have less nutritious information, food coming in for the physical body, and more toxic stuff coming in. Mentally, lots of nutritious whole, worthy, fulfilling information that stimulates conversation, that helps you to find solution to human problems. And you have lots of toxicity, distractions, addictions, stresses, and socially, the relationships are nutritiously poor. They're very shallow, right? Not all the time, but we've seen a trend. People are more on their gadgets rather than engaging in wholesome conversation. We were programmed to be empathetic, connected to people, to sense people's needs, so that when we know somebody's not feeling well, we'll be able to respond. Mm-hmm. And we pick this up by conversing, eye contact, looking at the facial gestures, the vocal intonation, and things like that. And we started that from birth, the mother-child relationship. And we continue as an adolescent.
There's a part of the brain that governs that. Is that empathy that
you're talking about? Yeah, we have mirror neurons.
Yeah.
So if you imagine a spider coming up my hand,
you get
his jeebies.
That's right.
Right. So we are basically wired, hardwired and softwired to connect. We're hardwired to connect, but the software requires input. So remember, like, we're processing. Garbage in, garbage out. If you have less nutrients in physically, mentally, and socially, or more toxicity in physically, mentally, and socially, then we're going to have problems. So, physically, where does the ultimate source of our physical nutrition come from? The soil. Mm-hmm. One thing I realized recently,
We are into the next question, and I'm glad you're going there.
Okay.
What should a person do to have a healthier and happier life? So you're talking about the eating now, what you're putting in your body.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So let's start with the eating. Okay. Nutritious food is very important, right? The best factory in the world is God's factory, which is the soil. Somehow we kind of think man can do better than God, and we've outsourced that wisdom to the supermarkets and to the transnational corporations that specialize in fast food, processed food. Food that is grown in the soil comes fully packaged with everything. The nutrients, the water, the fiber, the detox agents, okay? One thing I realized recently is that we don't grow plants. We tend to the soil. It's the soil that grows the plants. So the nutrient capacity of the plants depends on the integrity of the soil, which is actually the life ground.
Yes.
Once the integrity of the soil is destroyed, then if the soil is sick, unhealthy, then the plant becomes unhealthy. And then if we eat the plants that are unhealthy, then we become unhealthy. What we've discovered recently, which modern medicine is just becoming to terms with, is that there's a big ecosystem of bacteria and worms in the soil that aerates it, that turns over things, recycles things, and so on. But man thought he could want to maximize efficiency. And I think we're going to talk about false capitalism and so on, in that we've gone to GMOs to increase yield, and we've used weedicides, pesticides, have GMOs so that your wheat and corn can be immune to the pesticides. And they say it doesn't do anything to humans. But guess what? It kills the bacteria in the soil. So a lot of essential nutrients are not going to the plants. So a lot of us, like me, who want to go vegan, mm-hmm. we think we're doing the right thing. We realize that even some of the plants we eat are not getting the nutrients that are essential, because the soil is poor. And also we know there's an ecosystem in our gut.
Mm-hmm.
And that does alter the primary digestion. And the chemicals we take, the antibiotics we take indiscriminately, the pesticides that's taken up in the soil can also affect the integrity of the gut. And a lot of diseases are becoming more and more prevalent from the destruction of the bacteria, the ecosystem in the soil, and the ecosystem in the gut. Things like allergies, sinuses, inflammation, joint pains, even some neurological conditions. There's a condition now called leaky gut syndrome, in which by destroying the bacteria that should protect the gut, we have a lot of toxins leaking in, and we get in a lot of physical disease, even mental disease, because now we know that a lot of the neurotransmitters in the brain are produced in the gut. The gut has a nervous system. The heart has a nervous system, things we're just discovering lately. So the whole body is connected. You can't just affect one part and expect everything going to be okay. We have to understand that everything is interconnected. So Just like we have to be able to make sure we have healthy food going in our body, we need to concentrate on having healthy soils. Avoid pesticides and weedicides as possible. Use organic, use round rotation of crops, legumes. All of these things are resilient when you have a good variety of plants there. And as anything, if as a gardener knows, we become gardeners of the soil, right? And the three things which I've actually used to stimulate myself and my patients and my students into understand what good stewardship means. It means seeding properly, feeding properly, giving water, to make sure you have enough sunlight, and weeding, making sure that that's not supposed to be there, should be taken out. You don't have to use any chemicals. You can do it manually there. That's physically. So once the soil is healthy and you seed, feed, and weed, everything will be good. But mentally, it's the same thing. We need to seed our mind with positive ideas, things that bring people together, that fosters interaction. You also need to have also to feed that. So you just don't give information. You get feedback. Allow the patient to assimilate it and regurgitate it and bring it back so that you can understand that they're growing. And for each person, at their level of understanding, you give them accordingly. That's why we need the elders in the community to be playing an active role in feeding our minds. There's a big generational divide right now, which is very, very concerning right now. And the weeding. Mm-hmm. Just remember, kids, young people, they're coming to the world. They don't know right from wrong unless you tell them. Okay? So you have to weed out the negativity, protect them. Adolescents, I mean, we see a lot of crime right now and so on. Adolescents are developing their identity. They challenge boundaries. If a child doesn't challenge boundaries, something is wrong with him. You should encourage it. You develop your self-identity, your confidence, but you have to give them boundaries. So you encourage the thinking, the asking, the interaction, but you give them boundaries, safe boundaries. You need constant vigilance. And they would respect you for that because they know we all make mistakes. Nobody is perfect, but somebody say, okay, you're going too far. Oops. When you become a little enraged, you say, okay, stop and think. Simmer down. Come, talk to me. So we need constant interactions. We're not robots. We need a lot of tender, loving care. We are born to belong. We are born to connect.